Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to this week's episode of the Imaginary Movie Podcast, a podcast where we try and find the absolute worst movies from the 1990s we possibly can and then subject ourselves to them. My name's David.
My name's Sam, and I'm doing the splits right now. That's right.
Dude, you'd be in hospital. I'd be in hospital.
Just watching me over Skype.
I'd be in mental hospital if I was watching you do a split, yes.
It would break the universe. It would break the space-time continuum in a way that this movie, perfect segue, does it with reckless disregard for any sense of how time travel might work.
Yeah, this is a... what's the word? Total shit show? So we watched Time Cop from 1944, which 1994, starring of course Van Damme, JCVD, Jean-Claude Van Damme himself, the man, the myth,
the Coors Light salesman. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, this is a time travel movie, and obviously, it's somewhat, I'll say, the infancy of time travel movies. Obviously, it feels like since Back to the Future is obviously the big, we're going to talk about that a lot, I think. You know, we've had lots of time travel movies, and
Terminator.
Most of them are better than this, I think. You know what my main problem is? My main issue is that there are no well-established rules and then they don't follow the rules that they do bother to establish. It's deeply confusing and I'm certain it's the filmmaking that makes it so.
I'm going to come out on bat for this in opposition to your view, Dave, because as much... Right, so there's a moment when this film starts and it starts with the presidential guys coming here to... hi, how are you doing, congressman? Like, you know... Still shit at golf, that's right. And it's just like all this action-y kind of high-level presidential Congress, Senate, bat chat. And I'm like, okay, here we go. We're setting it up. We're getting to this tingle time travel.
This is a Senate subcommittee. Don't be so ridiculous.
Sorry, I apologize. My procedural knowledge is lacking. And I'm thinking, okay, this is... I kind of got an idea of what's going on in this film, the type of movie it's going to be, and then Van Damme turns up, and I remember that this is a JCV Van Damme movie, and you know, this is a fucking B-movie. This is a B-movie, and it is completely, I think, within the realm of what we'd expect from a B-movie to just say, ah, fuck it. Look, Van Damme's doing the splits twice. Like, I will give this movie a massive pass in a way that I know I shouldn't, but god damn, this is great fun.
I would love it, Sam. I really would love it if this movie was like, ah, fuck it. But this is what I find frustrating. I like this movie, don't get me wrong. I had fun watching this movie. I wasn't bored, mostly. That last fight we'll get to, but mostly I wasn't bored. Mostly I was enjoying myself, I think. I think Van Damme's actually pretty good in this movie. I haven't seen tons of his catalogue, but certainly you can't accuse him of much acting in most of his filmography.
No.
But my biggest problem with this is that they go to quite a lot of lengths to kind of like set up the stakes of the time travel. And if it was, he's a time cop and that's like a regular cop, except he travels in time. And it was literally, and then he's gone back to wherever, but it's just a bit diffuse as to why. It feels like there's scenes missing where, like, when him and the internal investigator go back in time, it's quite poorly explained as to why they're going back to then and how they know to send them back to then. Like, the one in the Wall Street crash little bit, I thought that worked really, really well when we didn't know what was going on. And if they could have continued the movie without feeling the need to explain to us the inner workings of it, I think a lot of my problems evaporate, because it's stupid, but it's fine because the movie isn't concerned with it. But the movie is concerned with it. The movie is concerned with the rules of the movie.
And it's pretty, it's not really sticking to me. Now, you got to say, what do you want from a movie like this? Like, you know, time travel-y, physics-y movies. Let's do it all day of the week. There's a great film called 12 Monkeys, which I think you'd really enjoy because it kind of is a bit more consistent. And we get to spend time in the past, like the recognizable past, as opposed to 20 minutes earlier or like 10, even 10. Like, we're going back to crazy World War One, and it's like, as we do in this movie, I agree, the 30 scene is excellent. I was once again expecting us to be having, are we going to get a Wild West version? Are we going to do a tour of all the standing sets in Hollywood, you know, that are just waiting to be used? And the answer is no. We're going to get,
well, as usual, it's the so Terminator and Back to the Future are two great comps to this movie. Now, Back to the Future takes place in an imagined 1950s, and that's great because we go to the 1950s and then we're in the 1950s, and then the movie takes place in the 1950s, and it's really clear. The rules are really clear. If I change the past, I'll change the future and I'll stop existing. In Terminator, we go back from the past to a recognizable present, and the movie takes place in the present. And so it's all really clear and concise. I think where this movie fails is too much of the time travel is back to the recognizable present. And and this is where it becomes confusing. Too much of the time travel is to the recognizable present. And by present, I mean 1994, not 2024, which is reasonably close to the future, which we're, in fact, maybe even 10 years past the future that we go back from.
I don't follow that at all. We go to 2004, basically, don't we?
2004, sorry. God, that's not even that far in the future.
No, exactly.
It's closer to this movie than we're to 2004.
It's like, and they've got these cars, and the cars are weird things that don't look like. So I think though.
The big problem, Sam, is that we're jumping around for seemingly no reason. The Wall Street thing is cool. The Civil War thing, in the first fucking 90 seconds of this movie, we get a load of Civil War guys getting gunned down by Uzis and their gold stolen, and then we get a really tasteful sex scene with Jean-Claude Van Damme in like the first 3 minutes of this movie.
You stole my line. This is the point. This is the point in the movie where I'm like, oh yes, TNA, we are here to.
It's a real relax into your comfortable chair moment of the movie.
It's a real fucking wake up, Dad, because you don't fall asleep watching this historical drama, because we've got some 90s tits to show you. Fantastic. Like, this is exactly the type of thing that we expect from these trashy B movies. This is a trashy B movie. And so I think as we continue to talk about this, and we should maybe, I think probably not, let's not describe the plot, but let's maybe use it as
So why should we try?
Yeah. There isn't enough ChatGPT hours in the existence to get through this. But let's use it as a guide as we go on this journey, because I think there is a good movie here. Like, I really enjoyed the process of watching this. I enjoyed the whole the silliness of it, and all, but at the same time, I still think there is like a kernel of an idea here. Now, yes, it's been done by better films, but Minority Report style, like cops who go back, and that's a cool idea. It's a cool idea, and Van Damme is maybe not quite the person to lead the film that you're looking for.
No, do you know what? Actually, I will say, I'll defend my guy JCVD. I think he's great in this. I actually think all the problems in this movie, really, for me, are in the script. And what it is this is based on a comic book, which I haven't read, obviously, because I'm not a fucking loser. I mean, obviously I am. I have a podcast. But I'm not that specific flavor of loser. We've explained this before. We're also not Doctor Who losers, but specifically, we're not comic book losers.
Let's not insult the audience entirely. Is my only.
Then I have as well comic books in Australia. We're Australia's number one podcast. but
fuck you, Australia.
Specifically, catching strays all over the place. Specifically, like, I can imagine as a comic book, this is really a serial and really episodic, and it's this time cop. I can't even tell you Jean-Claude Van Damme's name in this, because I bet it's like fucking White Guy McWhiteface.
I will tell you.
Like, is it John Walker? Is it John Walker?
It's so close to that. It's even better than that, though. It's like Homer on, when Homer goes to somewhere and he says, hey, it's a nice name. He said, thanks. I got it from a hairdryer. Max Power. No, it's not in this movie. It's Max Walker. Max Walker.
Max.
He's a man on a mission.
So in the comic, I bet this really worked, because I bet we get like basically every issue is just a series of like, like the 1930s thing is cool, the idea that you can go back there to the financial crash, buy up all the shares in these businesses that you know in the 90s and the 2000s will be worth loads of money, and you can basically acquire loads of shares for them when they're pence, which is great. I like that idea. I like Jean-Claude Van Damme coming in and taking him back. All of that's fun, and I think a really good scene setting, and it's, I think, part of the reason this movie made as much money as it did.
But in the comics, interestingly, before we move on, in the comics, it's slightly different, because he's pursuing an illegal time traveller who's robbing a South African diamond mine in the 1930s, captures him in the present time, and then, and this is where we might get some accusations of plagiarism, is that the criminal's robotic bodyguard remained in the past.
You want to get sued?
And so Walker returns to the 1930s and defeats the robot with the help of a local who he rewards with a diamond. And then he gets back and everything's kind of sorted. So, yes. Oh, sorry. One last thing on top of that. They help to end apartheid. Anyway, moving on.
That seems like a lot for a comic book to do.
Seems a lot.
When did apartheid end? I feel like it's 90s. A lot later than we think.
90s,
yeah,
I think.
Like,
when did Nelson Mandela come out of prison?
But anyway, when you find out about that massive
1994,
wow, same year. I'm really glad this ended
in 91.
Didn't try
multiracial
and solve apartheid.
Yeah, multiracial elections were in 1994. So anyway, history aside.
But what I'm saying is that, like, I'm sure as a comic book it works, but I think that they really just fumbled the time travel in this. And I mentioned Back to the Future, I mentioned Terminator. Like, there's really clear stakes in that, and there's really clear, like, A to B to C. You'll go back in time, the butterfly effect. We've so many movies like this which we've seen where time travel exists, and like, this is one of the more poorly explained and thought out versions.
Now, time travel's nonsense, obviously. Like, we can't... theoretically...
Quick, someone go back in time and slap him.
Theoretically, we might, under the laws of relativity, be able to go forward in time by going faster than, you know, light, or light relative to light in somewhere else. Anyway, we can't go backwards. And so... we've got this concept that we can use for time travel. And I think a lot of the time travel movies that you described, they kind of set out the rules fairly well. This movie attempts to do this. It attempts to do it by saying you can't, the same matter can't exist in the same place. Stuff like that. I mean, it's just sheer bollocks. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. But I don't think that's, again, defended the movie. I don't think that's beyond the limits of schlocky science fiction movies that we've watched before. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think there is still something about it setting out its stall fairly early on. We get the opposite thing in this movie, where we can go backwards, but we can't go forwards, which is an interesting read of the physics, but also, like, why? But
again, you kind of need a... You need a nerdy character to explain it to JCVD at the beginning of the movie, after his wife. Because I like the idea that... So the general premise of this movie is that Jean-Claude Van Damme becomes a time cop. And it's unclear whether it's because of, or in addition to, his wife being murdered by all these henchmen in the sort of one of the opening scenes. So... it's kind of like this pre-existing thing where they could resolve it by saying, you're a time agent, you have this time band, and that means that you exist outside of the changeable timeline, which means that when you go back in time, everything else will change, but you won't change. And then suddenly, it's all fine, because the Marty McFly in the picture thing. And we get this... So at the beginning, his wife is killed, he becomes a time cop, eventually he tries to stop this presidential candidate, the senator, and his evil scheme to go back in time and accrue loads of money to buy the presidency for reasons. And that's fine. But then the culmination of that is that they not only interfere with the senator's timeline and the senator doesn't change, like, you know, doesn't his experiences and knowledge doesn't change in the, even in the future, the Jean-Claude Van Damme's life doesn't change. It's,
yeah.
Can it's we very break confusing that? Because then it becomes about, so we get this double down of like,
let's break it down. The Senate has to send the henchman
to kill Jean-Claude Van Damme
in the past, at the beginning
of the movie, and then he does it again redundantly at the end of the movie.
Hold on, because I think we're talking about the grandfather paradox, aren't we? Because the idea, right, is that we've got the guy from the future, we've got future senator, goes back and tells young senator that he's going to be president one day, and these are the things that he needs to do. Right. So at the moment, he's basically saying, you can be your own grandfather because, like, it can all get pretty. But then, at the end of the movie, the guy from the past, the senator from the past, isn't aware of what's happening to the center, and so neither of them are like the idea of there being timelines kind of goes out of the way. That's what I'm getting to. I think there isn't timelines, there isn't like multiple time universes that are living alongside each other. There is one timeline that keeps getting altered, but it gets altered in a way that actually shouldn't make sense, because a lot of this stuff should be affected by the fact that they go back. Now this is where I think we get lost in a lot of sci-fi movies, though. This is where it all starts to fall apart, is because actually this is really confusing and it's also made up. And if you try and create these rules, you're going to really constrict probably what your movie can do, like this movie does by saying we can't go to the future. Because if they could go to the future, what could they do? They could just, like Minority Report, they could just see, oh, the president's going to do this. Cool. Well, we know the exact point that we can scale back and say, this started in 1994, it culminated in 2024, let's go back to 2004 and blow up this guy's car. Like,
and it's why we've got to, and so many, so it's why all in Back to the Future, Back to the Future 2, he changes the future, oh no, I've got to go back to the past to save the future. That's what this movie should have been. This movie should have been JCVD is in the past. He sees the senator do something bad and he goes... Anyway, they all go back to the future. They snap back to the future. Oh no, it's very dark. My wife is dead. What's happening here? Blah, blah, blah. Sit down with the guy, figure it out. Right, we know that something happened in these 2 weeks in 1994. We've got just enough power to send you back once to 1994. You've got to find the time traveler and extract him, and that will repair the timeline, and then we go back in time. But because we're jumping back and forth quite a lot, it's a lot harder to keep track. And because the senator is so effective at, like, so he goes back in time and acquires the time agency, basically, so that we go back to the future and they are packing up the time agency. But it's never about going back to the past to fix it. It's about stopping this guy. And I think it's a core misunderstanding of how the stakes in a time travel movie should work. The Stephen King book and then series with James Franco,
11-22-63 or whatever it is. Yeah, like,
that has the exact same thing where he goes through the time hole, which is what it is in that movie, in that series. He goes through the time hole. He saves JFK's life, right? He comes back to the future, nuclear war, and all of this horrible stuff. And he sits and somebody explains to him what happens. And, oh, you know, well, someone tried to assassinate the president. And then blah, 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 blah. And it all unfolds. And like, oh, my God, those are the stakes. That's how the butterfly effect works. I must go back to the past to fix it. And that's like really clear, really concise. Those are the stakes. Throughout this whole movie, I could not decide whether the movie wanted me to be worried about the horror show of 2004 or his wife dying. And mm-hmm. also, what he cares about. I think that's the one thing that they fumble. It's like, does JCVD really care that his wife's dead until he sees her? And then suddenly, obviously, he does.
Yes, I don't. I mean, you're asking me questions I don't have the answers to.
And that's fine. I think that actually, I'm bitching and moaning, but it's mostly because they made some really wacky choices in this movie.
You're a disgusted. Okay, and just like our Australian audience.
No, I'm a disgusting film nerd, Sam. I would just, honestly, I think this would be so much better constructed if, like, there were proper stakes, because it detracted from the ending when I was like, I don't know what we're trying to do. Are we trying to capture this guy? Are we trying to kill him? Are we trying to kill young him?
I think, you know what? I think a lot of this works if the last scene of the movie is just way more cogent, way more, like, firstly, we can see things would be helpful because it's all dark and it's raining. We can't see anything. And I think the problem is that the movie kind of dies a death at that point. But I would like to, I still think in the preceding, how we get there though, the stuff in the 1930s is a fun start. The Confederate gold, which they've carbon dated, which is amazing because you can't carbon date fucking gold, by the way.
That's your issue. That's your one fucking logical problem with this movie.
I know, but just Google it once, 1994.
The great thing about gold, Sam, is you don't need to carbon date it so much because you can quite frequently, it's stamped with the date.
Well, it is stamped as well, so I don't even know why
they have
it in the
Confederate States of America, and they're like, is this from the Confederacy, do you think? Do we have a timeline on when this could have been made?
Have we got an expert on Confederate gold? Come in, sir. Have you? Is it genuine?
Yeah, we got an expert on what 4 years that the Confederacy exists for?
And again, do we do this in the movie? Like, there's a lot of stuff where I think we could just simplify. And that's the whole premise, I think, for me. Is like, we could just simplify this a lot. But. I still can't say that I was at any point, other than the last scene, was any point bored. Like, because you know what to expect from this. We watched Bloodsport, which was Van Damme's
great
kind of breakout.
Movie. Way better than this movie.
Of course it is. Of course it is. A whole different genre. Hong Kong fighting movie. Excellent. And I think at this point in his career, he is bought into the Van Damme. And I think probably
the same year he was on Friends.
I don't know.
It's around here, I think.
94 Friends just started, so it depends when that is. But we have Street Fighter after this, the same year. And then I think it starts to maybe go downhill from. Do you think this is the peak? Universal Soldier, we've got, which I fucking.
I
love
do,
that movie.
And I can tell you a bit of trivia on why. So this was the peak. Basically, he got offered a 3-movie deal by the studio. Mm-hmm. And they offered him $12 million a film for guaranteed 3 films. And apparently he was so high off his tits on cocaine and booze.
Oh, I can believe it.
That he said he wanted $20 million a movie, which is the same deal that Jim Carrey got at the same time. And you're like, you ain't Jim Carrey, mate.
In 1994... Claude Van Damme.
And basically, he got a reputation for being difficult to work with. And I think, like, JCVD, to be like fair, I think has been really upfront that he had like huge mental health issues in the 90s, and drugs and booze and the fame and all of it, you know, I think all contributed into the sort of tailspin of his career, where he stopped starring in those massive movies that he's sort of had in the late 80s and the early 90s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's definitely... I think he's just not like,
He's a B movie star. He's kind of like the top of the B movie pile, isn't he?
He is. Like Jean Van Damme.
Like Schwarzenegger is a legit star, like a legit Stallone. Some of the biggest names, Jim Carrey, some of the biggest box office draws in history.
But Van Damme,
I think, is good, but he's a bit niche, he's a bit martial artsy, and like, he's also a bit ununderstandable sometimes. And I know that I've just mentioned Schwarzenegger and Stallone, two of the... Two of the most speaking through a mouthful of rocks in the history of Hollywood. But I think America especially always struggled with Van Damme's accent.
Yeah, but so this is the peak of his career, and I think probably you can see where this you can see where the limits are in this movie, because the martial arts is like it's fine, like it's not really the focus, and I think maybe if we'd either had much more of a focus on getting the martial arts really right, like the bit where he stops the guy on the rollerblades just by having his leg just up in the air at his face, and I'm like, what? That's. I mean, I know that's what he's known for, but gee, and again with the splits, which I love, it's amazing. It's obviously amazing, but like we're just randomly doing the splits in this kitchen while you're in the middle of a knife fight. Really? Okay, that's cool. Like,
well, a way to fix it. Here's an idea, Sam. A way to fix it is to have him be a martial arts expert, be a big part of why he's a time cop, because you can't take anything back into the past, because if you shoot someone with a gun from 2004 in 1890. That's going to cause a problem, because they're going to find the bullet and be like, what for?
Yeah.
You know? So then he's a martial artist because he has to beat people up in the past, because he can't take guns with him, because either it's Terminator rules where he's got to be butt-ass naked. I mean, sign me up. Or, like I said, they can't risk damaging the timeline. Maybe just a bit more centralized, like maybe a bit more time seeing him do cop stuff in the time cop stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God, you need to watch.
Someone's gone
monkeys.
Back to try and shag Marilyn Monroe. JCVD, you've got to go and stop them.
You need to watch 12 Monkeys. It's on iPlayer. I'm telling you, man, you're going to fucking... This is going to be everything that this wasn't for you. It's so good. So good.
Maybe later.
Yeah. Other things that I liked... Well, not so much... It's got that classic shitty B movie thing of we've got all these henchmen and they're all shit, because we've got a knife. There's at one point there's a henchman. We've got two knives and he just can't even land a blow. Like they have this horribly choreographed, but again entertaining. Because I can't help myself, Dave. I'm an idiot, but I'm like, oh look at this. They're sitting there.
It's your
like,
typical mistake, Sam, that kids love is where. The production team basically say to the makeup team and the wardrobe team, like, right, you need to, and they spent 6 months coming up with the look and the design, and the casting agents were involved of these henchmen, but then the script people forgot to write anything for them.
Yeah, so, there's nothing to do.
Yeah, so you've got all of these like really cool and they, you know, cool, distinct looking henchmen. None of them have names. I'm sure they have names. Like in the script, but like none of them have names or any characterization or anything, and like we get a couple of fun fight scenes, but then it feels like Looney Tunes because they all show up at the end as well, and we're fighting the same henchmen. And it's like, didn't we do this? Didn't Van Damme electrocute this guy to death, 20 minutes ago?
They're not recognizable. In that last scene in the movie, again, I'll say it, it's just so dark, I can't fucking tell the difference between anything.
And there's two Van Dammes running around and.
One of them gets killed, but do they? And is that Van Damme? Did Van Damme die? Or was it one of the henchmen who died? And then which henchman is that? Is that the one?
Sat there with a fucking whiteboard thinking, well, it can't be young Van Damme, because if he was dead, surely, although would this movie do that to me? Who knows?
Pepe, what's the always sunny?
Pepe Sylvier.
Like, we are just string everywhere. And it's, but just specifically on the henchmen, because I think all the way through, like, you need, in these movies, you need to have recognizable baddies in that way. We've got the suit, we've got the guy, we've got the presidential candidate, who I do think is doing a pretty good job. I liked this performance. I thought it was
he's scummy and he's like threatening and he's like
Ron
scary
Silver
and that kind of like
plays McCombe.
Yeah. He needs a MacGuffin though. The bad guy needs a MacGuffin. There needs to be like a plutonium rods that we need to get that we know that he needs to get and that JCV needs to stop him getting. And I thought they were going to do it because he talks about, oh, they've got the prototype time machine. Right, okay. And it must be here. They talk about how the prototype time machine has to be in a particular place. And you think, oh, so that'll be the movie. We've got to go back to in time to when he got the time machine and then stop him getting the time machine. And then, no, we're not doing that. We're like, but you just promised me a really good conclusion to the movie and then took it away.
And took it away. And that, yeah, imagine. So the prototype time machine, is that one that he doesn't need the rocket car to blast into the wall? Is that, am I
It's
am
unclear
I
because the prototype time machine seems to be a lot better than the actual time machine.
Like, so wait a minute, we've got one time machine that is like a fucking iPhone handheld that you can just slip in a pocket, job done. And the other one, you need to put a rocket on wheels, stay with me, and then you need to hurtle it at a wall way more than 88 miles an hour. Like, rocket cars can go like 600 miles an hour and hope that the people inside don't die. And so I feel like we're like a caveman bashing in a skull with a rock.
It's
and
a lot
and
of,
hydrogen
there's a lot
bombs
of examples in this movie of like,
we are so far
oh that's cool, and then that's it, that's as far as the thought went. So the rocket cars,
don't worry
cool.
about that. Moving on.
The very beginning in the Wall Street bit, the guys, the bankers are jumping off the building, and then we get this fun scene where the guy's like, well, that's the fourth one this week. Shucks. And it's like, a man's dead. A man is dead.
No, don't you remember the guy in the lift? The lift
yeah.
attendant.
And I'm
says,
like, these are people who died. They have died.
He says, it's actually really made me laugh. The guy says, oh, you'll be out of a job. And he says, don't worry, they still need to come up.
Yeah,
what
crazy.
The?
And so JCVD takes this guy, arrests this guy, and takes him back to the future. And it's cool because he's his ex-partner. And I mean, admittedly, this looks very much just America, so who could tell whether this is real? But they go to a court, and the court's like, you have anything to say in your defense? No? Great, murder him. And they throw him back into the past off the building.
It's like the Patriot Act court, isn't it? From, you know, we are just due process. No, but again.
And then towards the end, we have this court thing again where they're like, you need evidence, Jean-Claude Van Damme. I'm like, did we have any evidence when we threw the guy in to fuck off the building? Like, you need to go back in time and get evidence. And you're like, what?
Yeah. You know what it's missing, right? It's missing, and we've talked about this already, but it's really missing. It's really missing that scene where you land in the future and a newspaper blows up and it says, you know, Bill Biff Tanner president or whatever. You need that thing of when you go, holy shit, we're not in Kansas anymore. Like, and that's such an important part of those. And I really think even if we didn't change much more, but if we could go to the future movie and we could see how tyrannical this guy has become, and actually, like, we could have some fun with that, and we could try and have the stakes, as you've suggested, be something that we need to try and reverse, that we need to change. And seeing this guy as president is much more satisfying than watching him try and work his way up the ladder. And especially because of, I think, maybe the context of, like, this guy is basically a Trump. They talk about the type of people who want to vote for him, anti-immigrant, right-wing, gun fanatics. He's clearly in that vein. So fucking show us that. Show us the brown shirts. Show us the Nazis walking around in America doing their shit. Like,
just generally, I think it lacks a really... Again, the ending is just too diffuse. And even when he goes back with the... the CIA agent who obviously turns out to be a baddie, and that's
yeah, but even
explained.
That though,
and that takes place in the steam factory, and
even that, is she a baddie? Because there's a line about, did they threaten your family? And we get to see a lovely picture of this charming little family that she's got, and I'm like, well, why are you showing us that? Is that, are they going to die?
It's all about the line, Sam, of. She doesn't say, oh, I'm really sorry, Max.
No, she's quite She's quite no, she says, unapologetic.
Who
she's
would
quite
he says,
like,
oh, you know,
you.
Who would vote for you? And she goes, I voted for I'm gonna vote I vote for I vote for him or something. And it's
I
like,
voted early. Yeah.
It's like you've
yeah.
been in the movie for 45 seconds. What are we doing? It's way too early for you to turn out to be a bad guy.
I know. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
Again, that's my main issue with this movie, is while I enjoyed it, I think it leaves so much on the table and it could be so much more concise and better. And,
yeah.
And that's fine.
And yet, I will come back and defend it. Few things I will defend. We get the hacking character. We get the kind of Boris from Goldeneye, or the is it Mouse from The Matrix? You know, like the nerdy one.
Garth from Wayne's World. Sat at a computer console.
It's well, watch this, and he's watching the porn on the. Which again, you know, this is a director. I mean, it would have been a cinema. It would have been in a certain cinema. It would have been probably, I don't know, an 18 maybe. With the level of nudity in this.
R-rated, yeah.
We get some great fighting in the steam factory. I specifically loved... He's got like a wrench, like a big, you know, kind of... And he manages to get the guy's hand in it. And then it's like twisting him. I just thought, oh, it's brutal. Like, there's a lot of creativity here in terms of finding the most violent, the most gruesome ways of killing these nameless henchmen, which... we have no connection to. Last one, and I was about to go fucking ballistic at this movie, is when he manages to freeze the guy's arm, and then he's like, basically the whole side of his body is frozen over in this horrible 90s CG way. And then he says something like, oh, have a good day, or whatever. Goes around the corner and says to Macomb, the president, I should have said freeze. And I'm like, yes, movie, because I was like, how could you not take that opportunity to do so? He's frozen. You say freeze, just like Mr. Freeze in Batman in 4 years. And yet they manage to like subvert it a little bit and think, oh, okay, I'll give you that one, movie. So there's fun stuff in here. There's fun stuff. He's insulting the police chief's wife's goulash because it's too much salt. Like, what the fucking needless line that is, but I'm here for it. I love it.
There's a lot to like in this movie, and I generally think the cast is pretty good. And generally, I enjoyed it. I enjoy Van Damme as a rule. I think because mostly it's B-movies, and you just grab your popcorn, you're not looking for... You know, usually the budget's not massive and they don't make loads of money, and that's fine. You know, Bloodsport's a great example of a deeply stupid movie that's just generally quite fun. I think there's just less to look at in this movie in a lot of spaces. I think Van Damme's costuming and his makeup and the way that he looks is very good. I just think that the budget kind of ended there for that, and a lot of the other characters look pretty poor. Our set pieces take place on sound stages, like the steam factory. And then the house at the end, and it's like, not, it doesn't feel cheap exactly. It just feels really unambitious in terms of, we couldn't have had like this take place in a somewhat public place and have some extras, or in a street, you know, with a couple of cars, and it just makes it feel very static, you know?
Yeah.
Especially the fight at the house at the end, which I think is the worst part of the movie.
Yeah. 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 I'm going to... So, budget... 27 to 28 million in 1994. That's not like it's not a inconceivable amount of money, is it? Like, it's not huge. We're not, but we are doing, it's quite a lot. It's a fair amount, and I think, like,
you can sort of see where it's been spent to
yeah.
a certain extent. I think JCVD got like 8 maybe,
which would certainly, it would certainly kind of give you a bit.
But then you're not spending anything on any of the rest of the cast, really.
No, and I think there's a lot here of there is a bit of an element though of going, where did the rest of it go though? Like, where, because we don't have particularly good production design, we don't have particularly interesting sets, we don't have a future set, we don't have a big past set. It's just a present with weird cars. Like, there's all of this stuff that, and I think costumes aren't even doing, and I think there's a lack of distinction. And oddly, it's, I think a lot of the blame for this and some of the issues you're raising comes down to the fact that the production design isn't particularly interesting. And we don't have the creativity of something like Back to the Future or even Terminator to give us the future vibe, you know.
Demolition Man is another
Demolition Man movie. Yes.
Again, I think part of it is the future is too close. In Demolition Man, he's been frozen for, I think it takes place in about 2010, 2011, something like that. Like, it isn't much further in the future, but 2004 to 1994, it's not long. And it just feels like you could have made it 2030 or 2024, and then it would have been fine, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just looking at 1994 in movies, and The Lion King is number one, Forrest Gump, True Lies, The Mask, On and On, Speed, etc. The Mask has a budget of, and this is a very different movie, but 18 to 23. Dumb and Dumber has a budget of 17 million and made 247. When we're talking about action movies, Speed, 30 to 37 million, and that made 350. So again, that's pretty close to what we are talking about here. We're talking about speed budgets, and look at what they do. Look at what they have roads, they have buses, they have stunt people jumping out of cars. We have a fucking airport. We have planes. We have loads.
I don't think we ever get an outside. We get shots inside the limo and shots of these cars sat there. I don't think we ever get a shot of a moving car
in daylight. Give us daylight. I would accept anything in the day. It's so dark and dingy. And I think when you think that Speed has a similar budget to this, that's when I'm like, so my argument about this being a B movie starts to fall apart a little bit. And I obviously haven't got Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves, but you do have a lot to work with here. And maybe if you spent less time choreographing sex scenes, you might be able to give us a bit more plot beats and production design.
Ultimately, it's a fun enough movie, but I kind of disagree. I read a couple of things saying people think of it as Jean-Claude Van Damme's best movie, and I'm like, no, Bloodsport's better than this.
Bloodsport's
a better movie. Maybe not a better movie, but a better movie. It's more fun, it's more concise, you know, it's sillier, it knows what it is. Whereas I think this movie is Jean-Claude Van Damme trying to do something that I think is out of his wheelhouse a little bit. I think unlike Schwarzenegger and even Stallone, who I think is a good director and a good writer generally, I think Van Damme's ceiling was a lot lower than those guys, and he needs to sort of be aware. You just need to be in those disposable action movies that are fine, people enjoy, but they're never gonna, get the whole family out.
Let's do Universal Soldier at some point, please.
Never seen it.
Oh my god. He plays a former US Army soldier who's killed in the Vietnam War and returned to life following a secret military project called Universal Soldier Program. Oh, baby. So we got a bit of time travel in there, but also it's just fucking brutal, and Dolph Lundgren's in it, and it is pure meat, just pure meat quality. Just this gorgeous, fantastic. Beautiful. Beautiful. Just like this. Yes, it's beautiful. It's a quiz. It's a semi-relevant movie quiz where we try to stump me with stupid questions about 1994's Time Cop. Dave, you have devised a series of dastardly detective questions. I can't think of the D word. And you're going to quiz me about them. Are you not?
I am. So, Jean-Claude Van Damme has appeared in more made-up sounding movies than I think anyone. I'm sure you were reading through his filmography earlier.
Not in detail. So I think we can get away with this.
No, it's fine. Now, what I want you to do is, initially, I was going to give you five movies, and one of them was going to be real. Basically, every fake movie that I tried to think of was a real movie title.
It's a real movie.
Yeah.
With Van Damme in it, though.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right. Just from his filmmaker. Right. I kept thinking, like, so
Universal Soldier. Oh no, it's gone.
I'm gonna Bloodsport. Read you five movie. I'm gonna read you five movie titles, Sam. Fantastic. One of them is not a real Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, and I want you to tell me which one you think is the fake one. So, Double Impact, Maximum Risk,
oh,
Hard Target,
oh,
Nowhere to Hide,
oh,
Sudden Death,
oh, Double Impact, Hard Target, Maximum Risk. I love that one. What was the other one?
Nowhere to Hide.
Yeah,
and Sudden Death.
Okay, right. I'm gonna work through them one by one. Double Impact. That feels good. Because one of these isn't real. That feels good to me. Double Impact feels like it could be.
Sounds
punches.
Sexual. It feels like it's Van Damme. Yeah.
I can see the oiled body of Claude Van Damme, striking through a plank of fake concrete. Yes, I'm going to say that's real. But don't tell me yet. Reveal at the end. Next, Hard Target. Super sexual. Like, so homoerotic. And that just... Give me some of that Hard Target. yes, I'm going to go real as well. Maximum Risk. I'm slightly suspicious of this one, only because I think it might be called Max Risk as opposed to Maximum, but just because, you know, Hollywood's about cutting it down to the stupid Max Risk, like, and maybe that's a bit of a tongue twister, Maximum Risk. I feel like it would be like Maximum Danger or Max Danger. Isn't that the name of the character's movie? Maybe not. So I'm gonna hold that one in my mind just for now as a potential issue, and then Nowhere to Hide. Is this the last one?
Mm-hmm. No, you've not done Sudden Death either.
Sudden Death is a Van Damme movie, so I feel
well, that's a boring one.
I think that is, pretty sure that is. So Yes, I'm gonna go Maximum Risk is not a Claude Van Damme movie.
It's incorrect. The one that wasn't real was Nowhere to Hide.
Ah!
A
big fat...
So, yeah.
Damn it to me.
So
Nowhere to Hide.
Sudden Death was a 1995 action thriller.
Yeah. Pretty sure I've seen that.
What was his... Jean-Claude Van Damme as Darren McCord. This is...
Darren
McCord. I'm going to read you the plot summary for this one because it's
MacGyver.
Fucking hilarious. The film pits a lone fire marshal against extortionists who hold unsuspecting NHL players and fans for ransom during Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. And
every
set
single
payment milestones to coincide with the game's progress.
Every single word you said after that, it was like taking me on a journey. So he's a firefighter who's battling extortionists who are going after NHL players and fans during the game.
He's got a ticking clock during Game 7, which I think is the last game of the Stanley Cup final. Exactly.
We must
watch
this.
Hard Target is a 1993 movie, and he stars as Chance Bordeaux, an out-of-work... homeless Cajun merchant seaman. That's a bit of a mouthful. And a former United States Force Recon Marine who saves a young woman from a gang of thugs, learns that she's searching for her missing father and agrees to aid her in her search.
Incredible. Incredible.
Maximum Risk, which I just love that that's a movie title, is... Alan Moreau is Jean-Claude
Alan
Van Damme's
Moreau.
Character. And he plays two characters. He plays twin brothers in this movie.
Oh, it's perfect. Beautiful.
And the twin brother's a member of the Russian mafia, and it's all about that. There's a lot. The plot summary of there's a lot.
I think these are we could just drag the entire podcast into a Van Damme podcast. I'd be quite happy with that, to be honest. I think it would serve my purpose as well, because shut your fucking brain off and watch this movie about this extortionist taking out NHL players during the Stanley Cup. Fantastic. Right, second question.
And then Double Impact that you've heard of, obviously.
Yeah.
So that was, it was unfortunate, Sam. I thought Maximum Risk might throw you, because that was the one where I was like, oh yeah, Maximum something, and then I was like, oh no, that is a movie. So that's,
it's a movie, fuck's sake. Let's do it. I feel better about the next one. Let's go.
The Expendables is obviously a king, totally shite franchise. Sorry, Expendables fans in Australia. But totally shite franchise. But it stars a lot of the preeminent action stars of the last 30 or 40 years. Which Expendables movie did Jean-Claude Van Damme appear in? There are four Expendable movies, and he only appeared in one.
I just
want to tell you before you tell me what you think the answer is. The fourth one is called Expend Four Bulls. It's not the Expendables Four. The four is the is in the title.
Expend Four. Is it the A then? Is it supposed to be Expend?
It's a good. I'm not gonna.
I'm not gonna Google it. I'm not gonna look at the cast. I'm just on the. Expend.
It's just inserted. It's an extra. Instead of the A, so expend abels, ables, and it's
expend
four balls.
Expend.
I always like to make fun of when they people put a letter. What was that terrible Will Smith's one? Oh, that's a capital Y, isn't it?
Pursuit of Hapwiness. But I blame you for Gone in 60 Seconds. No, Fast and Furious. I blame you. Fast and
Fast Five.
Right. I think this is I think this is number three, because I think they tried to get him for the first one and he was like, "No, I'm too busy making Coors adverts." Then scheduling for number two, he didn't fit in with his busy schedule of doing Coors adverts. And then number three, he comes back and that's like, "Oh, we've got him. We've finally got the Van Damage." And
it's two.
Oh, fuck off.
Unfortunate, Sam.
Ow, it's loud. It's not my punishment. So what? Who else is in two? Let's have a look. Expendables 2. Oh, they're all there. Look at all of these.
Yeah, so Bruce Willis, Schwarzenegger, Terry Crews.
Chuck Norris, Jet
Li,
Lundgren, Statham, Stallone.
Kelsey Grammer?
Excuse me.
Kelsey Grammer's in the third one.
Incredible. Novak Djokovic is in the second one, apparently. What?
Wow.
We need to watch these films.
No, they get Wesley Snipes for the third one as well.
Right. So that's the caliber of actor I was thinking of, and I think we've just Wesley Snipes, Van Damme. That's kind of.
And then the fourth one is 50 Cent is in it, Megan Fox, a lot of the other guys. The fourth one seems like, they all seem like trash, to be fair.
Good.
Fourth one especially.
Good lord. Right, zero for two.
So question number three. Have you seen the film Kickboxer?
I don't think I have.
No. Famous Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Yes, I know it, yeah.
Franchise, a film franchise. There are eight movies in the Kickboxer franchise. I was astounded at this news as well. This was really surprising to me.
It shouldn't be surprising, though, should it? We should know. We should fucking know by now this is what he's going to do. He doesn't have any talent other than the splits, and I guarantee there's so many splits in these movies.
Much more than two.
Two is just... It's a famine of splits, as we saw in this movie. Right, go on.
Now, how many films did JCVD star in, or appear in, rather, of the Kickboxer franchise? There are eight movies. He was definitely in the first one. I'll give you that one for free.
Okay, so we got one already.
You've got options. You've got options here. Sorry.
You've got your own sound effects, Dave. Jesus.
Is it one movie? He was definitely in the first one, so one is definitely right.
Okay.
Is it three movies, or is it 5 movies?
3 feels like any kind of self-respecting actor who can now just make money off, you know, the license for this. 3 feels right, but you know, you can't tell. You can't tell with him because he's a monster, and he'll make such shit. Even at his peak, even at his prime, like we've watched this evening, I think there's a lot. There's not a lot he won't do. So I'm gonna. Oh, I really want a point. I'm gonna say 5. By which I mean 3.
No, it is 3. I'm going to give you a chance to earn your point. I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself and earn your point. It is 3. Would you like to guess which 3? Again, he was in the first one.
not 2 and 3 then. Come on, there's got to be... My instinct has to be right. So I think it's going to be 2... 3. I think it's going to be 2 and 4. No. 2 and 5, because it's the last one was made recently. 2 and 5.
2 and 5 is incorrect. So, Kickboxer, 8 movies. The movies are 1989, 1991, 92, 94, 95, 2016, 2018. And there's a new one that's yet to be announced the date it's coming out. Jean-Claude Van Damme stars in the first one, the 7th one, and the 8th one.
What?
They did the Apollo Creed. They did the Creed thing.
Oh.
He appears in Kickboxer Vengeance and Kickboxer Retaliation in 2016 and 2018, respectively.
Holy as the trainer. Shit. So he's... Oh, my God. So he's in 1989, and then while he's making movies... While he's like still in the same year that he makes this movie, we get Kickboxer 4.
Yeah.
So which has got who in it? It does. It's directed.
So Kickboxer, he makes Kickboxer in 89. He doesn't make Kickboxer 2 because he's making Double Impact and he can't do it. So right. They recast, and it's his brother, the character's brother, who is stars in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th movies. He wouldn't come back for the 5th one, so the 5th movie focuses on Matt Reeves, a friend of the family. That's what the Wikipedia article is telling me. And then after a long hiatus, a 6th entry was eventually made as Kickboxer Vengeance, which also serves...
Like, that's... Is that 20 years? What's the... What's
27 years.
Oh, my good Lord.
So that's the Kickboxer Vengeance, which is the one, which is the reboot with Alain Moussy portraying somebody, and then Van Damme playing the trainer. And then the 7th one's out, and then there's this one coming up as well.
The 2016 one, Vengeance, has 41% on Rotten Tomatoes, and that's, you know, a lot higher than I thought it would be, to be honest. Wow, hold on.
To be fair, Retaliation's got 92%.
92% on Rotten Tomatoes. What is happening? Maybe we should watch that.
A pulpy and fun flight flick that is better in some respects than it needs to be. Retaliation may not do for Moussy what the original did for Van Damme, but it won't send fans home disappointed. I think that's solid. I think we should visit more Van Damme movies, because I think he's an interesting actor. And I think quite often we fall into the trap of watching the biggest movies, you know, from whatever year. And I think Van Damme's movies were never really that. And also, it's a big snub to Ross, because Ross loves Jean-Claude Van Damme. And he's not here anymore, so we're going to watch all of your favourite movies, Ross.
We are indeed. So there we go. That's the end of the quiz. We're going to do a pathetic applause for me. And I feel upbeat again after that jingle, Dave. I feel upbeat. I feel ready to delve into perhaps some more Van Damme movies in the future. I agree. Let's do some more. But could we do the worst one? Could we like go on and Rotten Tomatoes and find the lowest rated Van Damme movie and do that, because I think that's going to be where we're going to be.
Should we though? Like morally?
Yes, I think
like
we should.
Morally, should we do that to ourselves?
I think
I'm
we
all
need
for
to.
Self-flagellation, Sam, but can we not just get the cat and nine tails out and save ourselves 95 minutes?
No, because we'd be whipping ourselves to the arm. Anyway, Dave, I'm going to put a movie on, and the entire time watching it, I'm doing the splits.